ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
So we are reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrit. We'll chant the prayers and then start. ॐ ज्ञानातिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदां सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। नमा ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे। नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गोरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाशदि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। सो फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई लाइक टू बेग फॉर द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज सो दैट we can discuss about the very glorious Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Because Prabhupada Lilamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam, in one sense there is no difference. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is about the activities of pure devotees in devotional service. And whole Prabhupada Lilamrita is for the same purpose. A pure devotee is trying to serve and establish that relationship. So for ISKCON devotees, Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita is as good as Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam on the, although it's a Bhagavatam class, still we read Prabhupada Lilamrita. So today, because the topic is going on of glorious appearance and his qualities and now the departure of Vritrasura. So today we'll try to discuss, because today is Ekadashi. So as we are going through the pages of Prabhupada Lilamrita, we'll try to discuss many glorious qualities are there which we found in the great character of Vritrasura and in our Srila Prabhupada's life. So, I could find almost around 11 similarities between the great character of these two pure devotees. So when we are reading, we'll go through this. how Prabhupada and Vritrasura, being a very staunch devotees of the Lord, how they went through the so many varieties of difficulties, problems, and faced with so much opposition. So we are reading from, this is chapter 3, New Jagannath Puri. It was 7 a.m. Srila Prabhupada sat on his dais in the temple. Beside him on the altar stood the recently acquired statue of Krishna. The child Krishna stood 2 feet high, with his left hand on his hip and his right hand holding a rod. Gurudas had found him at an import store and had begged the manager to sell him. And after several visits, the man had agreed for $35. Prabhupada had given him the name Kartami Shai. Kartami Shai means the boss. This morning, as Prabhupada, the Kartami Shai, looked at the devotees in the room, only about 6 people were present. The night before, the temple has been crowded. So, here we see that Prabhupada is giving class, the founder acharya of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, and 6 people are sitting there. And they were also not very serious. So you can see that how Prabhupada started this whole mission with very few, almost it's like equal to nil support, followers. Because we see that Prabhupada was, if he sees life, that being alone because of his pure devotional service, and which was not appreciated by others, he was always alone. Even when he came to India, he was begging practically to his godbrothers that at least give me some help, at least send some one man, some mrudanga, some kartal. But then he couldn't. So here was Prabhupada, practically the whole material civilization was at other side, and he was at other side. There is a war. So in case of Vritrasura also we see the same thing. Practically he was alone fighting with the whole army of demigods, which was standing in front of him as enemy. And Prabhupada had no support from his own homeland also. It was not that Prabhupada was, because he was on others' land, there was some problem. No. Prabhupada was on others' land, he had no support from his homeland. And similarly, Vritrasura also was fighting on others' land, and even his own followers, they ran away in the battle. So Vritrasura was chastising them when they were running, but they didn't hear. They just ran away. So alone Vritrasura was standing in front of huge army of Indra and his soldiers. So we see that how Prabhupada here, sitting amidst all the hippies, practically alone. And that's why sometimes the early disciples of Prabhupada, they used to feel that he is like a Masiha coming down, having a very special attire and special demeanor, because we see in case of Vritrasura also how much he was alone. Practically everyone was waiting for his death. Not only waiting, they were doing yajnas, they were chanting mantras. And who is chanting the mantras? Not ordinary people, demigods. Indra, Chandra, Varuna, Vayu, Surya, they are praying for death of Vritrasura. And all the great sages all over the universe, they are helping demigods get rid of this Rudrasura. You can imagine a person, like someone is there, and for him everyone is praying that he should die. It's like all the devotees, they are praying for some person that they should die. That was the case with Dhritarasura. That practically everyone in the planet, in the whole universe, they were praying that this person should die. That much he was alone. That no one was there to help him. No one knew who is he. But still, because he was a warrior, and sometimes warrior has to be alone, fighting. So, similarly, Prabhupada here, fighting the battle alone, practically. Against the vast army of Maya, he was alone. So then, because when he felt that he is alone, he said, "Where are the others?" Prabhupada asked. And then he gave the answer himself. "They are sleeping. All this sleeping is not good." He took out his kartal and began playing the 1-2-3 rhythm. Mukunda looked up, took up a mridanga and played along, trying to execute the rhythms Srila Prabhupada had recently taught him. Srila Prabhupada had not even begun singing when the door opened and half a dozen barefoot hippies wandered in. Reeking of marijuana, they glanced around and sat down on the floor with the devotees as Prabhupada began singing Guru Ashtakam, the Vaishnava prayer to the spiritual master. Although none of his disciples knew the words, they loved to listen to Swamiji's singing these morning prayers. Unhurriedly, he sang each verse several times, repeating each line, deliberately developing the mood of unadulterated service to the spiritual master. So we see this unadulterated service to spiritual master so much in the life of Prabhupada, that in all such difficulties also he always Jai Shri Shri Radha Ras Bihari Ji Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gaunitai Ki, Shri La Prabhupada Ki. Like we see in the case of Dhritarasura also, that although he was fighting alone in the battlefield, but he's praying. Aham hare tava padaika mula dasanu daso bhavitasmi bhuyaha manasmareta supater gunanste grunitava karma karo tukayaha. He says, I am remembering when that day will come when I'll be engaged in the service. I'll become servant of the servant of servant. And Prabhupada writes very wonderful purport in that who is that servant of servant? He says the spiritual master is the most trusted servant of the Lord, and when we engage in his service, then we become servant of servant, and then we serve his other down the line, his representatives. So here also we see that Prabhupada, although hippies were not knowing what he is singing, but still he wanted to have that mood that I am as a representative of my spiritual master. Then one of the hippies, a boy with long straight blonde hair and a red headband, began mumbling, fidgeting and moaning. Someone softly asked him to be quiet. The boy paused but then moaned again. Swamiji and his followers were used to drugged hippies who stayed up all night and came to the morning program, sometimes disrupting things. Usually the visitors remained submissive, and even if they occasionally called out in a strange mood, they usually found peace in chanting Hare Krishna and would try to blend with the energy of the devotees. But today's discordant visitor seemed agitated by the chanting, as if it were challenging him. Rather, he sounded like he was challenging it. Because this So many people, they came and they liked chanting Hare Krishna, majority. And some came like this, who felt threatened by chanting Hare Krishna. Now it goes, how this, you know, hippie started practically creating a havoc, telling that he is God. Then they used to scream, they used to yell, they used to shout like children only in the Bhagavad Gita class. We can never imagine what kind of Bhagavad Gita classes Prabhupada used to have. If you would have been some videos, would have come to know what kind of classes they were. So he was feeling threatened. You see that whenever Prabhupada was there in the US, he was considered like a threat to the whole materialistic civilization. Even Prabhupada said once, he said, if these people would have come to know that I am coming there and what is my mission, they would have killed me. Because the way Prabhupada created a whole civilization of, you know, saying very vehement no to meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and which was the pillars of the modern society, there was a great threat. So Prabhupada was always behaving in such a way that, you know, he was trying to destroy the wrong elements. So in case of this Vritrasura also, we see Vritrasura was against everyone practically. When he came along with his soldiers, and then there was demigods, soldiers, all the demons, they were very enthusiastic because they had such a great leader as Vritrasura, who was like huge, and they had full confidence that Vritrasura can win. So they showered the whole army of demigods, and practically demigods were under the mountain of huge dangerous, you know, weapons. But within no time, all these demigods emerged out as if nothing happened. And when that happened, all the soldiers of Vritrasura, they got so much frightened. Now even the war has not happened. It has not started. It was just one attempt. But then their whole morale went down. Just by seeing that we did so much and nothing happened to them, so they started running back. Just in that attempt only. So Vritrasura was chastising them, you know, you nonsense people, how can you run like this? They said, no, you do whatever, we are running. So they were running. So he was chastising his own people who were running. And by seeing that people are running, all the demigods, they started chasing them from behind, attacking. Then Vritrasura attacked this demigod. He said, you nonsense, what you are doing now? He said, they are already running and you are running behind them. Is it befitting to a Kshatriya? So practically on the battlefield, he was chastising everyone. He was chastising demons, he was chastising demigods. So he was, it's like, you know, very strange. Similarly, Prabhupada also, when he was there, practically he has to smash practically everyone. Whomever people consider their heroes, great scientists, philosophers. But then Prabhupada has to take that stand and call them as fools and rascals and what not. So when Prabhupada was there, that time this book was very famous. That book's name was, You Are Right, I Am Right. Sorry, You Are Okay, I Am Okay. Quite famous because that was considered like a very open-minded, you know, I accept you as you are, like that. So I am also okay and you are also okay. And we can be together. But when Prabhupada was told that, Prabhupada, this kind of book is quite famous in the society, Prabhupada said, no, that is not our philosophy. Our philosophy is, I am okay, you are not okay. So, Prabhupada was chastising practically everyone in the, you know, society. So here also, when people felt, you know, challenged by Prabhupada's preaching, Prabhupada's chanting Hare Krishna, but then that was his work. What can be done? Because who can chastise like that with pure heart, that he doesn't require anything from them? He didn't wanted any benefit from them. Then only when someone can chastise. To the degree person wants something from him, he feels that, you know, let me keep him peaceful, happy, so that he can donate me money, he can donate me some land, he can give me some favor. Prabhupada was not like that. He was not wanting anything from anyone. That's why he could represent truth as it is. So here also we see all the people are coming from different background, but Prabhupada had no mentality of gaining something from them. So he could chastise them for their betterment. Because this is one quality of pure devotee, that he is always truthful in all situations. Honestly, he can tell what is the problem, like a doctor. If doctor becomes fearful of the patient, then where is the question of his? There is no hope for patient. So similarly here, Vritarasura was chastising everyone practically. And Prabhupada also was, because he had no mentality of gaining something. He was not doing some chapalusi or something. The devotees began clapping in time with Prabhupada's kartals. And when Prabhupada began singing Hare Krishna, his half dozen followers immediately joined in, chanting both lead and chorus. Prabhupada looked at them gravely, encouraging the bedraggled early morning band of youngsters, and they responded determinedly. The guests sat in drugged contemplation, although one or two tried singing alone. But the blonde boy with the red headband remained adamantly disharmonious, moaning defiantly and as if trying to throw off the effect of the chanting. Nonetheless, despite the boy's moaning, which was sometimes loud and savage, Prabhupada kept singing and the devotees kept chanting. So, although so many difficulties came in the life of Prabhupada, there was no question that he can be daunted from his service to his spiritual master. We see the life of Prabhupada is like full of great calamities, great difficulties. From the beginning of his life, he went to the school and then he joined Gandhi's mission, Asahakar, and he couldn't complete his college also. He left in between only. So he dropped off. Then he started his own pharmacy. For some time it was going on nicely, but ultimately everything crumbled down. So he was a great failure in the business also. And when he was trying to raise some center where Krishna consciousness can be practiced, specifically in Jhansi, he was trying. There also he got great loss. It was a big failure. So then he set out on some other business of printing books. He was trying to collect funds. But then it was very difficult. He had no even money for his own ticket to go to West. So in one sense, for an external person, outside person, he was a complete failure in everything. His own family he couldn't, because there was a clash between his wife and him, and then he has to come out of home. So we see economically, on family life, fundraising, on kind of collecting people for Krishna consciousness, he was repeatedly failure in all situations. But still, in that situation also, there was no question where anytime he said, my dear spiritual master, you gave me this order, but now, I tried my best. Now my age is 70. So now I want to go to Vrindavan, chant Hare Krishna. We never find in any difficulty Prabhupada said like that. Similarly, we see in Vritarasura's case also, practically failure after failure after failure. And he knew that he is destined to fail. That is the height of, at least we can try when we know that we can succeed. then there is some guts to try. But here, Vritrasura's case, he was destined. It was the will of the Supreme Lord Vishnu that he will fail. But still, we find that at every stage, the first failure was he got demon's body. That is a great failure. Practically everyone was against him. Everyone was cursing him. Everyone was giving him curse that he will die as soon as possible. And then he came in the battlefield. His own followers left him. He couldn't keep them together. He was alone fighting with Indra. And then when he was fighting with Indra, Indra cut off his two hands. She was disabled. So then one would have said, okay, now what can be done? I have no followers, no hands, nothing. But we see Vritrasura in that situation also, he practically ate up Indra with his mouth. Because that was there. Huge mouth. So, we can see that how the pure devotees, they are teaching us by their example, how they go through the ocean of calamities, ocean of opposition, and still they don't dodge themselves. It's like they are not daunted by any difficulties on their path. So here also we see, all the Prabhupada is like alone here. But then he had a faith that if I just continue like this, Krishna will give me mercy. Because that was the only faith Prabhupada had, and that was the faith Vritrasura also had. Rather, Vritrasura's case is, he was having more faith than Indra. Indra also was losing faith on Vajra. Because he failed, he threw the thunder, his mess, which was very powerful, threw on Vritrasura for killing him. If it would have been not Vritrasura, something else, that would have destroyed the huge phalanxes of soldiers. It would have destroyed the huge mountains. That one club, that was powerful of. But then here, Vritrasura was there as opposite. He took that mess and hit him back on Indra only. Along with the huge Airavat carrier, he fell off so many yards. And that was like end of the hope of Indra in the battle. He stood there doing nothing practically. He was carrying the great weapon given by Vishnu, Vajra. But then the problem was now he has lost hope. So Vritrasura has to give him Bhagavatam class. My dear Indra, please understand, Vishnu's words will not go vain. Don't worry. This will surely happen. You have to just get up. But Indra was thinking, my dear, it's like I sent this gada and then it came back and it was such a disastrous. If I release this thunderbolt and then Vritrasura catches that thunderbolt and hits me again with the thunderbolt, I am gone forever. There is no scope only. So he was very fearful of sending that thunderbolt. But then he was preaching, because we see that how Vritrasura was having so much faith in the weapon of enemy, that how much power that has to kill me. So he was telling Indra, don't worry. This weapon has made to kill me, so it will surely kill me. You have to just get up and fight with me. And we can see that is the power of association of pure devotee who is having faith. That because of faith of Vritrasura, Indra also got little faith. And then he got up. We can see that in Prabhupada's case, Prabhupada is having that faith on the greatest weapon of Lord Vishnu. And that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That is the greatest weapon. Krishna comes. Kalikale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna incarnates in this material world, specifically in Kali Yuga, having this weapon, Harinam. Because Prabhupada is having great hope and great faith on this weapon of chanting Hare Krishna, he could win over the opposition of material civilization, which was going in some different direction only. So So it's such a amazing contrast is there between Indra and Vritrasura, that although King Indra is supposed to be, it's like he is a king of the heaven, he is supposed to have so much faith in the Lord. But here we find that because he was having a mentality of possessiveness, he was thinking that I am the king and this Vajra belongs to me. And now I think that I will not be able to kill. So he was putting himself in the center. Whereas we see Vritrasura was not keeping himself in the center. He was telling, my dear Indra, you are not the doer. And he said, I am also not the doer. Krishna will do everything as his wish. So Krishna is the actual doer. That's why Prabhupada gave the first murti what came in Krishna consciousness. That is Kartamishayi. Kartamishayi means Prabhupada used to call him as boss. He is our boss. So we are not boss here. Who is boss? Shri Radha Ras Bihari. That is our boss. So he can do anything. I may sometimes not be able to do. That's okay. Or sometimes I may be able to do many things by his mercy. So that was the whole theme of Prabhupada's life, we see. That Prabhupada never thought that I will do something. Neither Prabhupada was thinking that I will not be able to do some things. All these both things, that's why in Vritrasura, one of the purport, Prabhupada writes this, very important. He says, pride in victory and moroseness in defeat, both are useless. Because both are on bodily platform, thinking that I am the doer. Doership means what? I can do. Another part is I cannot do. Both parts are of the same doership mentality. So that's why Prabhupada considered Krishna as the real boss. Kartamishai Vishnu. So he says here. Okay. Mukunda and Hayagreeve exchange anxious glances but tolerated the boy, unsure what else to do. Some of the devotees were disturbed and even frightened. But they had also heard Swamiji say in recent lecture that advanced devotees aren't shaken in any circumstances. Swamiji was their leader, not only in devotional prayers, but also in how to respond this intruder. So they waited and watched him for a sign. Prabhupada remained undisturbed. But although after 20 minutes the kirtan had strong and determined, the blonde boy's madness was not going away. As the chanting built up momentum, he became more agitated. He screamed like a soul lost and sounded like a rock singer. He was becoming more and more troubled and angry. When the devotees rose to their feet and began dancing, the boy began dancing too, but in his own way, crying, pounding his chest. Mukunda played louder on the drum. The sounds were discordant. A clash of individual madness and group chanting until Prabhupada finally brought the kirtan to a close. The devotees bowed their head to the floor and Srila Prabhupada intoned the Sanskrit prayers honoring the spiritual masters, the Supreme Lord and the sacred places. All glories to the assembled devotees, he said. All responded, Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. All glories to the assembled devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada said. And then as his morning custom, he announced, chant one round. So that was MMC. So when in the beginning he used to first chant kirtan and then they used to have one round chanting. And everyone will sit with beads and then they will chant one round together in chorus. And Prabhupada also will chant with them in the same speed and same tone. So you can see that here how, although so many such disturbances were there, but Prabhupada was so duty bound that there was no there's nothing in the world could, you know, stop him from doing his duty. Because there is a very nice quote of Mark Twain, who was one of the great philosophers. He says that if you do always right, then the half of the world will be very happy. He says. And then what about the half world? He says half of the world will be very amazed at how you are doing like this. So that is the way it is. When we keep doing always good things, some people will be very happy and some people will be just amazed that how this person is going on. Day after day, month after month, year after year, he's just practicing, you know, Krishna consciousness. We see that in the life of Prabhupada. So from the beginning, when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur till the last days of Prabhupada, all the situation he was just going on, going on, going on. So how much he was, you know, taking it as a, you know, his responsibility to serve his guru. Like here also some devotees were telling that when Prabhupada used to come here, from Andheri station to come to Juhu, Prabhupada will not take a taxi, Prabhupada will not take a bus. How he used to come? He used to come by walking. Just to save some money, some few paisas, so that can be put into printing, Prabhupada books. Is, you know, so we can see, and he, that printer in Delhi also, he was telling, if you see that Prabhupada ever well-wisher, you are a well-wisher, that printer tells that when Prabhupada used to come in the morning time, he used to ask, Prabhupada, have you taken breakfast? And then Prabhupada used to very reluctantly say no. So then he used to give something for Prabhupada. So Prabhupada used to walk miles of, you know, just to come there, and he will not even spend on his own personal needs also like this, just to save some money for printing, you know, books. We can see that how Prabhupada was so responsible in doing his service given by his spiritual master. Here also we see Vritrasura also was so responsible. Like he was told, now you go and, you know, go to the body of Asura. Which person will like to be Asura? And which devotee will like to be Asura? So he was in the body of Asura, but he was best of the Asuras. In a sense, he did his best thing. He was like the leader of the Asuras. He was doing all things whatever the Asura is supposed to do. So when he was a Chitraketu, he was like perfect devotee. He acted like that. But when the Lord wanted him that, okay, you take birth as Asura, then he was perfect Asura. He remained. And that's how he was, you know, fighting with Indra. So similarly, we see Prabhupada in all situations, he was always the representative of the whole Acharya Parampara, whatever case may be. Whether he was a grihastha, he was a powerful grihastha, always, you know, preaching. When he became Vanaprastha, he was going around Jhansi trying to build some center. When he became Sannyasi, no help, still he was ready to go to the West. So we can see all situations, we are, you know, seeing that how he was so responsible. Saving small amount just to print the books. That's why by Srila Prabhupada's mercy we are staying in such a great palace of Radharas Bihari. So whenever we are eating feasts, having rasgulla and rasmalai and, you know, paneer sabji, we should just remember that how Prabhupada was walking all the way from Juhu to, you know, Andheri just to save few paisas. And now, by his mercy, we are getting everything, sitting here. So when we have that, you know, kind of gratefulness, then surely we'll also get the quality of Prabhupada, who was so determined to serve at all the costs. Why? Because Prabhupada had no idea of, you know, doing anything in this material world. There was no question of enjoying in this world. There was no question of... Here also we see that how Vritrasura He says this like 2 days back only. Nanakaprishtam nachaparameshtam nasarvabhaumam narasadhipatyam. He says, na yoga siddhim apunarbhavam va samanjasatvat virahaya kangshe. He says, I don't want heavenly planets. I don't want the sovereignty of this whole earth. I don't want anything. So, that was the case with every pure devotee. That they don't want anything. They are disgusted with the material, plan making, material world. So, Prabhupada also, like once Prabhupada was walking, I think it was in Germany. So when he was walking for his morning walk, so then there was, it's like a huge bin was there and there it was written, dustbin. That, it's like. So then Prabhupada looked at the disciples and he said, this is the right place for the whole world. We should take it and put it, So that is the understanding of pure devotees. For pure devotee, this world is like insignificant because that is entangling. That is stopping his service to Krishna and his Guru. So here also we see that he was not for worldly fame, nor he was for great followers, but he was just doing his service, whatever is assigned to him. And here we see that Prabhupada, he was not at all disturbed by such kind of people coming, even in his kirtan. It's like, someone is leading kirtan and some has his own, starts shouting like a jackal, shouting like a child. It's so irritating. But then Prabhupada was very fixed, always. Because he was always fixed in samadhi, remembering the Lord. That he was not, disturbed by anything. Neither his audience, neither his followers, neither the external circumstances could deviate him anyway. Because we see, like once, this was in Calcutta. Pandal program was there, people were sitting. And Calcutta was now also, communists, they were quite against Prabhupada. Because he was teaching Bhagavad Gita. So some of the followers, they came and they started creating havoc. They starting, taking the chairs, started breaking it, making a big noise. So the people started becoming a little fearful that, some danga will happen here or something. So some people started getting up and leaving. Just to, it's like be away from this kind of. Prabhupada sitting on Vyasasan, giving lecture. And then he saw that, they have only few, 2-3 devotees. And this whole crowd of hundreds and thousands of people. And then here are some 20-30, gundas. And what can Prabhupada, and then devotees were looking at Prabhupada, what Prabhupada will do now. Prabhupada took up his kartal and started singing Brahma Samhita prayers. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So that was his response to the whole situation. So when he was so absorbed singing this Govindam Adi Purusham prayers, after some time, the gundas, they understood that this is very special personality. They immediately stopped everything and went away. So we can see that how Prabhupada was so engrossed, always in samadhi, serving Krishna, remembering Krishna. We see in case of Vritrasura also, he was so much in samadhi, after eating Indra, that Indra came out of his stomach, tearing his stomach open. Still he was in samadhi. King Indra took his thunderbolt and started cutting his neck. Still he was in samadhi. We can't even imagine what kind of samadhi that is. Here when we chant Hare Krishna, one mosquito comes and then becomes so difficult. It's like we curse that mosquito whole chanting, 16 times we'll give curse in chanting 16 rounds. But then here we see that Prabhupada was undaunted in all such difficulties. So much he was absorbed. Okay. This is everyone sat down, including the crazy hippie. The devotees put aside the drums and kartals, reached for their large red beads and began chanting japa in unison. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Fingering one bead at a time, they uttered the mantra and proceeded to the next bead. Surprised at this turn of event, the blonde boy commented loudly, "Far out!" As rapid chanting filled the room, the boy jumped to his feet and shouted, "Come with me!" He whirled about, faced Srila Prabhupada and howled, "I am God!" Then he began screaming, long loud cries, "Ooh!" And it goes on telling. He sobbed, growled, grumbled, stomped his feet like a small child. He explored every sound his voice could make. Beating his fists on his chest again and again, he cried, "I am God." And one of the boy's friends suddenly played a few notes on a panpipe just to give him company. It's background sound. But Srila Prabhupada kept chanting japa. And the devotees also tried to continue chanting undaunted, while at the same time keeping an eye on the madman, wondering where it would all end. Then with a final violent ejaculation, the boy shrieked, "I am God," and in anger and disgust strode out of the room, slamming the door behind him, yelling as he ran down the street. So whenever we read about Prabhupada, it's so thrilling. We can only pray to the feet of these great souls, that we also get this wonderful qualities for our practicing Krishna consciousness. Because it is always said that the people don't understand the glory of a person unless he leaves. So now we feel so much missed that, you know, we could have been at the time of Prabhupada. But one devotee was telling, one Prabhupada disciple, he said, "You are better situated than us. Because we were with Prabhupada, there was always a chance to take Prabhupada cheaply. But then now, you know what Prabhupada has done. And you know what Prabhupada is. So your chance of serving Prabhupada is better than us." Similarly, here also Vritrasura, his glory came out after his death. His Bhagavatam class recordings came after his death. What he gave to Indra. Till now everyone was thinking that he is just a demon. Okay. So we pray to the lotus feet of Prabhupada and pray to the huge, extraordinary lotus feet of Vritrasura that they bless us with their good qualities by which we can render devotional service for the pleasure of our acharyas and the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada lilamrita ki.